Welcome back to the Radio Academy podcast. I'm your host, Georgie Jameson, and this week we focus on the launch of this year's 30 Under 30 scheme, the Radio Academy's one-to-watch list of up-and-coming talent in the audio industry. In a moment, we'll hear highlights from our 30 Under 30 webinar, but first, I chatted with Ricky Lee, CEO of the radio software company Air, who are sponsors of this year's 30 Under 30, and I asked him why the scheme is so important.
I think it's a great initiative since its inception back in, 2011? So it's 14 years old now, to really, really give talented people the opportunity to be recognized by their peers. I guess in a scenario where you wouldn't normally, like if you think of radio awards in a typical sense, the people who tend to be awarded are the stars, the people that you see the face of, or I guess you don't see the face of it in radio. And for me personally, what I've really, really enjoyed, especially running a technical business, is that people within inside of my organization and other organizations, whether you're a technical person, a developer, a designer, maybe you're in sales or anything like that, it gives you an equal opportunity to be recognized and rewarded by your peers. And I think that is something exceptional, and I'm incredibly proud to be part of it.
And you have personal connections to 30 Under 30, don't you, with Air, your company. Tell me about those and how, you know, it's impacted on your workforce.
Yeah, actually, a very, very good question. And yes, you're absolutely right. So back in the inception, 2011, we had our first alumni. So Gav Richards, who's our CTO of our business, was in the original 30 Under 30 back in 2011. And then I don't want to say it was a shopping list, but it kind of was in the industry. People got recognized, and all of a sudden there was 30 people that had been almost vetted by our peers. And those people instantly just were put on a trajectory of recognition and job opportunities. And that really happened with us. So moving into year two, I think it was 2012, Andy Buckingham was at Global. Andy is one of our senior developers, an incredible human being, an amazing talent. And I'd known Andy since our days when we worked at EMAP, and I was at Hallam FM, and he was at Key 103, and we worked in production in the back end of things. But it really put him back on our radar of going, hold on, maybe we should be looking at these people of opportunities to hire, to go out and grab some talent. And it worked both ways. I think us being recognized and having individuals that were also on the 30 under 30, and then going after people that were on that list, was a very, very good and beneficial thing for us. And then I guess fast forward a couple years later, Jonathan Cresswell, who is actually now one of the 30 Under 30 judges. Jonathan had not long since been with the business as a junior designer. Jonathan is now our chief creative officer in our business. And in 2015, he was inducted into the 30 Under 30. And I think as a business, we've always kind of looked at this as a great opportunity where we can nominate our members of staff, again, in where they wouldn't necessarily fit into a traditional radio, audio, podcasting awards type situation. So yeah, very, very close ties with the business, and something that we're incredibly proud of.
So tell me about Air's involvement with this year's 30 Under 30.
Yeah, so we're very proud and privileged to be the headline sponsor of 30 Under 30. So the Air Radio Academy 30 Under 30 just launched. We had the opportunity to come on board as a sponsor of this year and next year. We've confirmed that as well. It was just an opportunity, again, that we just could not turn down. This is such a great, great thing that puts you on a trajectory when you're in radio. And again, I just, From a personal point of view, where I came from a very technical, commercial production, helping out in the back of a radio station to running and owning radio stations as well as a tech company, I just think it's a great opportunity for us as a business to be involved in recognizing talented individuals that are on their way to greatness. So yeah, we're incredibly proud to be part of this.
And what would you say to someone who's thinking of applying for this year's 30 Under 30?
You absolutely need to apply. And if you're anything like me, you hate talking about yourself. So go and ask other people why you're so good at what you do. And I think people will be pleasantly surprised. Ask for support. Ask the Academy for support on how you can apply for this. I think just the website alone, the about section, the testimonials, meeting individuals, you'll be surprised, I think, if you go and have a look at the alumni of the names that are on there that you might already know. So if you're thinking about applying, apply. If you're unsure and you have questions, reach out to the Academy. I'm happy to answer questions as well. If you need feedback on your application or anything like that, it's something that we'd be incredibly proud to look at as well. So if you're thinking about applying, you should definitely, definitely apply. This is a great thing to do.
And you said earlier, you know, you have employed people who are past alumni. So as an employer, when you see that on someone's CV, tell me what that makes you think. Does that, you know, does that pique your interest?
It really does. It almost became the place to go and have a look for talent. Talented people are everywhere within our organizations and our industry. If I look at it from our perspective, we're a tech company. We hire software developers, support technicians, people who help people on a regular basis. Finding those people who also have radio experience is incredibly challenging. And yes, you can teach radio, and you can. We definitely have people with inside of our company that have no radio experience whatsoever. However, if you do, that really puts you ahead of the game. And for me, you just, again, just go and have a look at the alumni, scroll all the way back to 2011 and look at some of the names of where they are right now. Your testimonial page alone is just a great opportunity to look at where people have started, where they got inducted into the 30 under 30 and where they are right now. So yes, does it pique our interest when we see that someone has been recognized, almost vetted by our peers in the industry? 100%. It does. And it's such a fantastic achievement. So yeah, absolutely it does.
A big thank you to Ricky Lee from AIR. Now let's get into the webinar with our Acting Managing Director, Dixie Stewart, former 30 Under 30 alumni from 2020, Naomi Uiku, Director of Broadcasting from BFBS, Nikki Ness, who has been a judge since the start of the scheme, and Chair of Judges, Director of Strategy and Operations at News UK, Jimmy Buckland, who started by running through some of the T's and C's of entry.
You have until the 1st of September, so you can either self-nominate or you can be nominated by someone else. And we'll talk about the pros and cons of each, but either route is absolutely valid. You have to be working in UK audio or radio and have been doing so for at least 12 months. And you have to be 29 or under on the 31st of August to be eligible. Those are the main kind of requirements. There's more detail, obviously, on the website, along with the application form, and hopefully you found those. So I think what we'll do, Naomi, Nick, if you're happy, we'll kind of dive straight in. We'd love to hear your stories. What do you think is so great about the 30 Under 30, and why should folks think about applying? Maybe Naomi, can I start with you?
I was part of the 2020 cohort, but I actually did apply prior to that and nominated myself. And something I do want to say, that if you do apply and you don't get into that 30 under 30, don't feel disheartened. Just apply again, because like the caliber and the amount of people that do apply and the standard is really high. So don't feel disheartened if you don't become successful first time round. At the time when I was awarded with 30 under 30, I was an assistant producer at something else, an independent production company. I was working across various Radio 2 shows, so across Trevor Nelson on Radio 2 and Keris Matthews as well. And I would say, like, with your application, it's really important to think about what you've done within the industry. Like, it's great that like you do so much as a team, as a production team, but in your application, just make sure that you focus just on yourself and what you've done within the industry. And I think being awarded 30 under 30 really boosts your self-confidence, and it makes you feel appreciated in the industry, but then also the cohort of people that you are sort of nominated and successful with kind of builds that community. And it's really good. It's varied in terms of the different people and the different roles and that people sort of take on that do enter. It was a massive achievement for me and a massive confidence boost as well.
Brilliant. And how about yourself, Nikki? What does the 30 and the 30 mean to you?
Well, I think the really interesting, Jimmy, is as an employer, and I'm sure I speak to other colleagues within the industry as well, is whenever we come across people with 30 under 30 nominee on their CV, that means a lot. Recognition from this industry that they are amongst the cream of the crop in a particular year is really helpful for us. And certainly, I don't want to say always, but I would say 99% of the time we'll guarantee an interview, just because as part of this industry, I certainly and my colleagues understand, you know, how difficult it is to get on the list. And I would say that I'd encourage everyone to have a go, but don't take it lightly. You've got to put the work into your entry in order to rise above and really stand out from what is a crowd of hundreds of people who apply every year. And as a judge, you know, we really take this one seriously. So we spend a lot of time really going through those entries, really thinking about why we would be recommending somebody to go on the list. And I think there are a couple of other advantages as well through just going through that process, really thinking about your career to date, what your ambition might be for the future. That helps you discuss with your current employer or prepare yourself for future employers. It's a really good exercise to go through because it gives you examples for future job applications and future interviews, whether that's within the organisation you're already working with or somewhere else. So I think there are lots of advantages, but my big piece of advice is this isn't a quick entry process. You really have to put the work in and think about it and take your time and properly answer the questions that you're asked within the process.
Naomi, what's it like being asked back as a judge? What are you looking forward to as a judge this time now, rather than previously when you were obviously one of the cohort?
I'm just really looking forward to seeing like how people have sort of developed within the industry, what's sort of going on in sort of audio and radio world. And I think like this year compared to 2020, I think you can have the opportunity to submit audio, which is great, and sort of providing those examples. And so a bit of advice I would give people is just, as Nikki said, take your time with the application. It's not a last minute thing. You've got to provide those examples, provide those stats, how you've sort of benefited the community, the listenership. So it takes a lot of thought to sort of put into the application, but it's your time to shine. Like, I'm really excited to have a look and sort of see this year's cohort and see obviously the amount of talent in the industry.
Yeah, I think that goes for all of the judges. It's hugely rewarding. Well, let's talk about what judges are looking for in those applications, shall we? And Nikki, what are you looking for most in a successful application or nomination?
I think just from a practical perspective, we're basically awarding marks out of 10 in three categories. And certainly the way I do this is, you know, you start with your first few and you kind of benchmark, and then you can't help, you are comparing application to application in order to sift your top cohort to go on for further consideration. Evidence is really important, and the highest scorers are the people that give us really good examples of the things we're looking for. So one of those things is impact. So we're really being given evidence of something substantial, something impressive, or maybe more than one example. And so when you're looking at impact, it's also about who have you impacted? How have you impacted? What's the difference you've made? And if you can give us some evidence, whether that's data or increased reach or increased engagement, or if you're in a sales team, increased revenue, for example, that really helps us kind of figure out who the shining lights are from an evidence-based perspective.
That's great. Thank you. And yes, you mentioned the three criteria. So we've got impact, we've got scale, and we've got quality, which are the sort of criteria that we're applying. And you're right, speaking as well as a judge, with so many great entries. And when you've got one that has X percentage growth in listenership, or this many views on YouTube, or this level of engagement versus what we'd normally expect from this brand, that's really helpful. I mean, Nikki, that might deter some people because they might think, I don't work, as Naomi did, on a big national radio show, and so I can't say that I've reached millions of listeners. How would you help people pick out, I suppose, the stats or the evidence or the examples that are most relevant to them to hit those impact, scale, and quality criteria?
Yeah, it's a really good point, Jimmy. And I think that might deter some people, but I think the impact you have within your space is eminently measurable. You might be on a community station and, you know, you might have a small community, but your reach might be huge amongst a small number of people. That demonstrates impact as far as I'm concerned, in terms of what you're doing with your community. You definitely don't have to work on the biggest shows or be part of the biggest organisations in the country. That's a really clear message for us. But we're looking for you to prove to us how you've judged your impact, or how, if you're nominating someone, how you've judged the impact of that individual within your world. The other piece of advice I would give is, if you're entering yourself, if you can get support from somebody else, if you can share feedback from audiences or feedback you might have had from your line manager, that just really helps us judge these various elements that we're looking for.
And Naomi, what would you advise our budding applicants and nominees as the types of examples or feedback or evidence that you'll be looking for as a judge this time around?
Well, I just wanted to go back to what you said about, because obviously I was working for a big sort of station at the BBC, but I was also volunteering for the Student Radio Association as well. So I was the chair of the SRA. And I do think I put some of that stuff in my application as well, as opposed to just like working for big stations. I don't want people to shy away from it if they're not working for a big commercial station or a big like BBC sort of show, because I did add a lot of sort of evidence of supporting student stations across the UK, how I worked with my team collaboratively and like led the SRA. So I just want to obviously add to there that if you are volunteering or working at a community station, then definitely provide that evidence and definitely like mention that as well.
Yeah, that's a great point. Thank you, Naomi. Nikki, maybe this is one best to you because of your kind of past experience, but can you just kind of give us a feel for who the other judges are? Just to me, might just help the applications to be able to picture who's going to be reading what I'm writing, what I'm recording, what I'm putting down.
Yeah, the Radio Academy is really great at putting together eclectic mixes of judges who are experienced in the radio and audio industry across all disciplines, you know, whether that's technical, mentioned before, sales, digital, producers, presenters, journalists, kind of you name it. It's really representative across the piece. And I think it's also lovely to see alumni of previous 30 under 30 schemes on that judging panel as well. So it's not just people that have been around forever. There's a real diverse and eclectic range of opinions from the most senior to 30 under 30 alumni who are the shining lights of the future of our industry. And that bit's really important for me.
Naomi, in terms of the application form itself, so there are three questions. The first one is about your career to date. Second one's about your outstanding moment. And then there's an optional question, which is just giving applicants a chance to address if they've had any adversity that they've overcome in their career and how that's kind of shaped their career to date. Are there any sort of tips that you would give to applicants in filling out those questions? Because there's a strict word limit and I'm sure everyone will have loads they want to say.
I think the advice I would say or would give is be honest in your application. The judges are looking for, as you say, any adversity that anyone sort of experienced. I think it's really important to sort of get those quotes and get that feedback with people that you've worked in the team, because it's really great to sort of get opinions and get people's views on your work and what you've done within the industry. Be honest, take your time with your application, don't leave it to the night before. Provide examples. And I think it's really good that you're giving people the opportunity to submit audio, so utilize that and make the most out of your application and what you're offering.
And Nikki, that third question, that optional question on overcoming adversity, people might be worried about that question or think, you know, should I answer it? I'm not sure if I should answer or not. Have you got any advice for people just in how to answer that third question in particular? And I guess what we're looking for in asking that question.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the secret of a good entry is the narrative of your career. If there are things that may have impacted you or just things that help us understand you as an individual within this industry, then please share them with us. You know, authenticity is a really big part of what we do within the radio and audio industry. And I guess we just wanted to make sure that you as an applicant or you in nominating somebody just had an opportunity to tell us the whole story. So it's a fairly new element in the application process that I think was just added last year. But it really did help us when it comes to discussing and finalising the 30. To properly understand the backstories of the people that are going on the list and how their experiences to date might have affected things.
So as we talked about, there are two ways that you can be nominated. You can nominate yourself or you can be nominated by someone else. I think, Naomi, you've given us some great tips already, but is there a kind of top tip that you would give for someone, firstly, who's nominating themselves?
First time round, I nominated myself. So I think, yeah, the top tip would be to talk to people in the industry, talk to people that you've worked with, to provide those examples. So it's not just coming from you, it's coming from other people as well. So just making sure that you're clear and honest.
And what about if you're either seeking for someone to nominate you or if actually you're on this webinar because you're looking to nominate someone? Nikki, what would be the top tip or your top tips for nominating someone else?
Definitely sort of evidence. And I think the other thing, the really important thing, is to explain how the individual stands out from the team and how their contribution, their personal contribution, is the thing that has made the difference, has created the impact, or has elevated the quality of a particular project. Because the judges are looking for evidence of that individual. And sometimes it can be quite hard to tell what was a team effort and what was the individual's effort. So really help us by elevating the individual's contribution.
Well, I think we should bust some myths, shouldn't we? Because what we don't want to do is for people to come away from this and still not be quite sure if this is for them or not. And we really want to really encourage as many people as possible to apply. So let's bust some myths. Naomi, is the 30 under 30, is it just for people from an editorial or production background, perhaps more like yourself?
No, with 30 under 30, it's so great because if you're working in sales, if you're a journalist, like it covers so many different roles within the industry. Something I was going to sort of add and jump in there is if you aren't successful this year, have a look at the cohort for 2025. Have a look at the cohort for the previous years and connect with those people and sort of ask them what they've done in the industry. Because it's always good to know what people have submitted. So it's certainly said their examples. And it's also good to see the different examples in terms of the companies people have worked with or for responsibilities or roles.
No, that's spot on. And you know, I'm so thrilled that AIR is on board this year as our sponsor. And of course, they're doing that because I'm sure they're as interested in encouraging in product and technology and some of the areas that they work in, product design as well. Certainly for me, working at news forecasting, really keen to encourage people from marketing roles, you know, data. We want to make data-driven decisions. So, you know, that's so crucial for audio and radio success these days. Obviously, the whole gamut of roles. Nikki, if someone's still quite early in their career, they might be thinking, well, this isn't really for me. Maybe I should leave it a few years. You know, maybe I'll pass this time. What would you advise there? Should they wait a bit longer or should they get stuck in?
Do you know, I think it's worth getting stuck in because you never know. I think just this whole process of thinking about your career and your achievements and your ambition for the future is healthy at any point in anybody's career. So if this can help prepare you for something else, then why not give it a go?
I agree. It's good to reflect on what you've done in the past year. And I think even if you're not successful this year, even just journal and make a list of your achievements leading up to next year's if you don't get it this year. So I think, yeah, it's a great and a positive thing to sort of reflect on.
What about if you have applied before, but you've been unsuccessful? What would you suggest there? Does that suggest maybe it's not for you or is it worth trying again?
I nominated myself and provided different examples and I wasn't successful, but then I was nominated by someone else and was successful. So it can work either way. Don't feel disheartened if you don't get it. Like hundreds of people do apply. If it's not your chance this year to get it, then apply next year. Like honestly, I would suggest applying more than once if you're not successful.
Yeah, no, I just 100% agree. And I think through each year of your career, potentially you do have more evidence, you have progressed more, you are doing bigger and better things. So my advice would always be don't give up. And certainly we've seen examples of people who might have applied, you know, for 3 or 4 years and might have only made the list for the last year possible. So, you know, always have a go. And the other thing I would say is there are lots of lovely people doing a really good job, but you need to be doing more than that to get onto the 30 under 30 list. And we do see applications from people who are clearly lovely people doing their job really well, but you need to find more. Set yourself that challenge, find that thing that's more, and get yourself on this list because you'll never regret that. That's for sure.
Oh, I think that's right, Nick. I think that really is worth reassuring people on actually, because the standard is so high. And I think all of us as judges come away each year so excited that the future of our sector is in such good hands, and also sort of in some respects sort of challenged and spurred on that, gosh, you know, I'm going to keep my act together here because yep. there's a generation coming with, you know, fresh ideas, which is just so important. Naomi, any last thoughts or last piece of advice that we haven't had a chance to cover?
I just wanted to say, don't hold back. And if you are hesitant, then I'm more than happy to, if you want to drop me a message on LinkedIn, I'm happy to have a chat with anyone that is sort of afraid to sort of put an application forward. But I'll just say, like, what's the worst that can happen? You might not get it, but just try again.
And Nikki, any other thoughts that you've not had a chance to cover off?
Just a couple of things. Number one, if you've been nominated or have won an award, whether that's Student Radio Awards or any other kind of award within your field, make sure you put that in your entry because that's really, really good evidence and that does make a difference. And then I think the other thing, and I don't know whether other colleagues employers do this, but I'll let you into a little secret. There are sometimes people who enter who might not make the list, but just attract my eye because of another project that I might have going on. And I have been known to reach out directly to those individuals with offers. So you never know who's going to read about you, remember who you are, and you never know where that's going to lead.
We now have three questions, so we'll take those. So I'm going to start with this first one. Nikki, you talked a lot about this. When you talk about numbers and proof, does that mean audience figures or social views?
Could be anything. I think the important thing is to find credible evidence that backs up what it is you're telling us about you. So if you're telling us you had a successful project, any kind of measure that demonstrates the impact or the success of that particular project is really important. So it could be an increase in listenership. It could be an increase in social media reach. It could be an increase in sales revenue. It could be a technical colleague. It could be an increase in the viability of kit or the improvements that kit has made to output. Really anything like that is measurable is really helpful to us.
Naomi, a question for you, if that's okay. If someone works as a freelancer across the UK industry as well as the US industry, are they allowed to only reference to the UK work they do?
I would reference both. I'd reference the impact that you've had across.
I would absolutely agree with that. The eligibility requires that you have been active in UK audio and radio for the last 12 months. We want to hear everything that you've been doing that has stood out. And actually, if you've been having an impact across the Atlantic, that would be great evidence to showcase. If you're self-nominating, is it more beneficial to submit using audio or video to get a real sense of the person rather than just in written? Naomi, what would you say to that?
I think it's a really good idea that you've introduced this and having the opportunity to submit audio and video. But yeah, we do get that sense of the person if you are submitting that, but then just make sure you do include those examples, include those stats. So it's great for you to tell us what you do and who you work with, but you need to make sure that you're standing out compared to the other applicants. Just have a think, prepare your answers before you do record, and just have a think in terms of what impact you've had as an individual as opposed to a team.
And I guess for reassurance, we will treat either way in exactly the same way. So you're not at an advantage or a disadvantage, whichever one you pick. You know, pick the one that works for you, and that allows you to give an authentic sense of yourself. I think Nikki used that word authenticity, which I just think was spot on. So people have different personality types and different ways they like to communicate, and we're really just trying to make sure we operate a scheme that is inclusive and as accessible to anyone in our industry as possible. Nikki, question for you. Someone here says they've had quite a few different roles in their audio and radio career, you know, ranging from production through to pivoting to kind of tech projects. Should someone try and sum everything that they've done up in a single application, or does that risk watering it down? What would you advise them?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're definitely looking specifically at the last 12 months, I think in terms of the focus. But equally, I think if there are elements that build into that story about you and how you've achieved what you've achieved in the last 12 months, then that's all just really helpful evidence. So, you know, if you did something earlier in your career that focused you to the path that you're treading now, tell us about that too. And obviously your CV submission as well also is an opportunity for you to sort of demonstrate that breadth of career as well. So the other advice I would give is make sure your CV is good too.
I would imagine that someone who has that diversity of background and experience would bring so much to their application. And obviously, I'm thinking about that outstanding moment question, and that's your opportunity to really give us a project where you've absolutely made an impact and you really hit those criteria that we talked about, maybe the scale, the quality and impact criteria. But maybe those experiences leading up to that point have all fed into that outstanding moment. Please make sure you really tell the story for us.
A big thank you to everyone who took part in our webinar and to Ricky Lee from the 30 Under 30 sponsors, AIR. To apply for 30 Under 30, then visit our website, radioacademy.org, where you'll find all the details and our FAQ page. And you can always contact us at info@radioacademy.org if you have a question. Applications close on the 1st of September, and you can watch the full webinar if you go to our YouTube channel. If you're going along to our summer social tonight, which is at Bowers headquarters, The Lantern, from 7 until 9, then have a great time. Social events are free for Radio Academy members, and non-members can sign up for £4. Keep an eye on our website for one in your area. Have you taken part in our stakeholder survey yet? If not, go to radioacademy.org/stakeholder survey and give us your thoughts to help us shape the future of the Radio Academy. Next week on the podcast, I chat with Andy Ashton, Director of Content for the Greatest Hits Radio Network and recipient of the Special Recognition Award, the 2025 ARIAS. I'll see you next week.